You're listening to the Songs of Inspiration podcast, bringing you local interviews and performances by singer-songwriters with the goal to give space to the music community and share local artists' messages and stories with the world. I'm your host, Lars Wicklund. Hey, everyone. We're in the studio today. It's St. Patrick's Day, and we're at the Record Co., and we have Sean McGuire with us today. Thanks for being on the podcast, Sean.
What's up, Lars? Thanks for having me. Yeah, Sean Patrick on St. Patty's Day.
Nice. Awesome. To kick things off, can you share a little bit about your musical background and how you got started with songwriting?
Sure. I mean, it goes way back to when I was a little kid. Like, I've always been surrounded by music. I grew up in a very musical family. My dad's a musician, a songwriter. And so I don't really remember a time without music defining every moment of my life. And so I think my earliest foray into singing and understanding music was probably through the church. Grew up going to church and singing in choirs, and got into school and was in choir and band, and I was a trumpet player for a long time. And so that's kind of how I had learned a little bit of theory. But songwriting specifically was probably in middle school, eighth grade, freshman year of high school. I started writing poetry to kind of understand the world and relationships and stress, anxiety, fear, all of those things. And so I started filling these notebooks up with poems. And my dad came to me and said, "Hey, you know, have you ever thought about learning guitar? Have you ever thought about writing songs?" And I said, "You know, yes, but I don't know how to play any." So he loaned me one of his guitars, gave me a chord book, and said, "You know, you can sit down and you can learn how to play flashy lead, learn scales and things, or I think you'd be better, you know, writing songs." And so I started when I was probably 14, 15, really writing songs, and they were horrible songs. I mean, very angsty, very emo. I was, you know, a millennial kid, so
yeah,
early 2000s, everything was so influenced by Dashboard and
and
that scene. So yeah, I mean, I started writing songs. I was a bedroom songwriter all through high school. Nobody knew that I wrote songs. It was funny. Like, I went to college and in Nebraska and started playing gigs a lot and started playing original stuff and playing out, and came back and did a show in my hometown that summer, and people had no clue that I even like played guitar or wrote songs, really.
Oh, wow.
Which was really funny for me. Yeah, so it kind of went from there. And then I've just, you know, songwriting is my way of seeing the world and understanding the world around me. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely, you know, self-expression for me.
Yeah.
So a lot of my songs, most of my songs, are very self-reflective. They're very much kind of vignettes into where I'm at in life at that point. Mm-hmm. I've tried writing songs about other things and other people and tried to make up stories, and it's just not really my style. I feel like I'm very much inwardly focused in my writing. So yeah, I've been kind of a gypsy for a long time. I went to school in Nebraska. I grew up in Indiana, went to school in Nebraska, and then moved out to California for a year and played a few shows out there, and then moved back to the Midwest in Chicago. And that's really where I kind of cut my teeth with songwriting and performing. And I had a band called the Lulabelles for many years in Chicago.
Oh, cool.
And we did a lot of gigging, a lot of writing and recording. You know, we were playing pretty nonstop in Chicago.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then moved out here. My wife's from Holyoke, so we knew, you know, one day when we would have a family, we'd want to live out east near her folks. She comes from a really huge Irish Catholic family, lots of cousins and aunts and uncles. And so we moved out here in 2016. And we had our son in 2017. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you know, it took, songwriting kind of took a back seat a bit, or at least performing took a back seat for a while. We had two kids within a year and a half.
Oh, wow.
And then COVID hit. And like we had talked before the interview, like that allowed a lot of space and a lot of time of self-reflection and writing. And so that's kind of, you know, where this last album I released came from.
Cool. Yeah, I've heard from a lot of people that the COVID period was like a really
good period for the creativity just because of how much time there was and stuff and whatnot. So
right, yeah. I mean, it, you know, horrible situation for the world and but for songwriters, it you don't and especially if you're, you know, a parent and doing it at the same time, it's I don't have a lot of downtime.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of time to think. So yeah, that period of quarantine really, that 3-4 month period, in 2020, early in late 2020 was
yeah,
a lot of songs, probably 100 songs, and wow. I think 11 made the cut. But
wow,
I mean it was nonstop.
Yeah, wow, that's a lot of songs.
I need to fill my time, man. I can't sit and ruminate much. It gets scary in my head, so I got to get it out.
it's really cool that you use it kind of to understand life and stuff and interpret things around you too, because I think it's a really good outlet for that type of stuff.
It is. It's how I externalize my emotions and my feelings and process everything. So, you know, it's funny. I joke with people, but like, I love performing. I love playing shows. I love interacting with people and seeing new places. But if none of that existed, I'd still be writing every single day for myself, because if I don't, I will literally explode.
Yeah. Cool. What artists influenced you as you started out with music?
I think as many songwriters, I've met tons of songwriters. We all go back to the Beatles, I think. So, you know, my dad is a huge John Lennon junkie. And so I grew up listening to all their albums, all of Lennon's solo work, and really analyzing the way that he and Paul created songs and so masterfully put them together. So they always will be my number one influence. But I have a pretty eclectic taste in music. I just love music. I don't really care what genre it comes from. I can take things from all genres. So early development was definitely the Beatles. There's a random early like Christian rock artist named Larry Norman that I'm sure nobody's really heard of. My dad rocked all his records when I was a kid. And he was so amazing in the way he could craft songs and get, you know, certain messages and feelings conveyed without it being, you know, mushy or over the top.
Yeah.
Or what people think of, you know, kind of modern Christian music to a certain degree. So Larry Norman was huge. Elton John. My dad loves Elton John. ELO. Like a lot of that fun 70s stuff.
Nice.
And then as I grew older and went through high school, like I said, I was the early 2000s emo generation.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I learned a lot of Dashboard songs freshman year of college to try to meet girls. And
and
that was kind of the motivator at that time. But then Coldplay as well. I have a vivid memory of when I decided or like believed that I could write songs. And it was because of the song Yellow by Coldplay. Mm-hmm. I had gone to it was my freshman year of high school. I'd gone to like a youth group hangout kind of thing. And I was feeling very awkward. And at that time, I was very socially awkward and trying to fit in and figure out how I fit with the rest of the kids. And they had these two guys that were, I think, juniors or seniors in high school, got up and played Yellow. Mm-hmm. And it was right when that album Parachutes had come out. Mm-hmm. So I heard these guys singing this song, and then I went back and bought the album and realized, oh my gosh, I can do this. I'm kind of like these guys. Like I feel the same things that they're singing about, and I can, you know, write in similar ways that they're writing, and it kind of inspired me from there.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. What do you think are some of the like essential elements that a good song has, like what that make up a good song?
For me, it's the lyrics. I mean, I love melody. Melody and lyrics, but my wife likes to joke that I'm kind of pompous about music and lyrics. And it's tough for me if there's not a deeper meaning or something that they're trying to convey. It's harder for me to connect. I love pop songs. I love pop music. I love Harry Styles and Olivia Rodrigo and those guys. But for me, it's definitely what are they trying to say with this song, and what are they trying to impart on the listener. And then from there, I love hooks, you know, I love melody. How the words and the music interact,
yeah,
is important.
Definitely, yeah, that's really cool. I think also the lyrics for me are definitely like essential. The message that the songs send is really important and stuff.
I'm like I'm a very visceral listener to music,
yeah.
So I have very physical reactions to songs, and so you know I know a song is good if it gives me chills. I know a song is legendary if I'm crying at the end of it.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of always been my guiding light when listening to music and with writing it is what are we trying to say here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool. What would you say the biggest challenge you've faced pursuing a path towards music has been?
No. You know, I always joke with other songwriters and performers, but like in music, you hear the word no probably 99.9% of the time. Mm-hmm. And so when I first was starting out, you know, as an 18 or 19 year old, getting up the courage to go play a show or play a song for somebody, that getting over that fear mm-hmm. of reception and that fear of how someone will receive my songs and react to them and getting to a place, and it's taken a long time, but getting to a place where I let the listener own that.
Yeah.
And don't take that on myself. I make the art, I put the art out, and I'm grateful and thankful if anybody connects to it. But yeah, getting a thicker skin for lack of a better term, of knowing that you're going to have 1,000 no's for every one yes, or every one incredible experience that comes out of your songs, and being grateful for that.
Yeah. That's definitely, it takes time to figure out or to kind of have that detachment to be mm-hmm. like, this means something to me. Mm-hmm. I'm putting it out into the world and letting people kind of decide for themselves what they think of it.
Exactly right. Yeah. That's a wild experience as a songwriter.
Yeah.
When you put a song out, and it's funny because a lot of times the way people receive it and process it themselves is vastly different from the experience I was having when I wrote it or recorded it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of a beautiful part of songwriting, is that we can listen to the same song and have completely different experiences.
Yeah.
But letting that happen took a long time for me to kind of let go of.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Do you have any creative routines that help you stay in the flow?
It's wild. For me, my songwriting's kind of changed over the years. When I first started writing songs 20 years ago, I was very regimented with it. Like, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to come up with a song right now. Like, I'm not going to leave this room for 3 hours until I come up with a song. Mm-hmm. And it just felt forced. It didn't feel natural.
Yeah.
And so my routine now is my phone. I have probably 1,000 voice memos on my phone that, like, if I'm driving the kids to school and it's in a melody or something comes in my head, I make sure I get it down on that.
Cool.
I don't know how songwriters did it 50 years ago when you would write it down on a notepad and then have to remember it until you could get into a studio. Like, I remember Paul McCartney said in an interview once, I think it was something to the effect of, you know, if it was a good song and he slept on it and remembered it the next morning, then it was a hit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, my routine is just always expressing myself creatively. You know, since having kids now, I have an almost 7-year-old and a just turned 5-year-old. Mm-hmm. It's tough to find time to actually sit down and write. So it's kind of a part of our day.
Yeah.
We're constantly singing songs and coming up with silly things throughout the day. And every now and then I'll pick a little nugget out of it.
That's cool.
It's been really neat. And I think my songwriting has matured so much since having kids. I think I see the world a little bit differently now than I did before. But yeah, as far as routines, no, it's chaos pretty much every day. And like this new album I'm working on, the songs have kind of come, you know, randomly. And I really feel that songwriters are vessels for songs and that we kind of pull things out of the ether a bit. Like the songs are there and we're just kind of finding them and uncovering them. And so for me, it's just always being open to the process of creation.
Yeah.
No matter when it happens, because it can happen in the car, it can happen in the shower. I wrote 3 of the songs on this album in the shower.
Wow.
You know, like wherever I could find the time and the peace. Yeah.
Cool. We were actually, speaking of albums, talking about your Wednesday Songs album, and can you tell us a little bit about how you recorded that? There was a cool story behind that.
Yeah, that was such a transformative experience for me. So, like we had talked about, it was born out of the early stages of the pandemic in the quarantine period, and we were at home, my wife and, at that time, two little kids. We had a lot of time in our day to fill, and so one way that I kind of connected and stayed in contact with all my friends and family and acquaintances was we started doing a Wednesday night live stream. Mm-hmm. And so every Wednesday we get on for an hour and I do a kid set of, you know, funny kid songs, Disney songs. And then we do a set of like an hour and a half of my stuff or covers like people. It was just constant feedback. It was like I told you, it was just like a hang every Wednesday for
That's
people.
Cool.
And so I was very motivated and had the time to write during that period. So I would write a song or two every week and bring it to the group on the Facebook hang and to see what they thought. And so eventually I had enough songs written during that period that I was ready to make an album. Mm-hmm. The only problem was we were locked in the house.
Yeah.
So that I I'm, you know, I have a little home studio set up enough to do demos and things on. And so I reached out to a bunch of good friends of mine that I've played music with over the years and are still dear friends. And one particular guy, a producer out in Kansas, Carter Green, he said, we can do this thing virtually. Like you can just track things cleanly at your house and send them to me. I'll mix and master everything.
That's awesome.
And so we did one song as like a test to see if we could pull it off. And it was Bluest Gray on the album and it came out really beautifully. And we're like, okay, let's do it. So, yeah, I laid down the acoustic guitars, obviously my vocals and piano parts, and a couple electric guitar parts in Massachusetts. And then one of my dear friends, Michael Ockerfer, who lives in the Chicago area, did all the percussion, accordion, hammer dulcimer stuff in Chicago. And then my cousin, Benjamin Cortez, down in Phoenix, did a bunch of stuff. And then I was telling you I had a buddy in Germany, that Julius, that laid down a guitar track for one of the songs, sent it all out to Carter and he polished it up, mixed and mastered and
wow.
Did his wizardry. And it came out, I think, better than any of us could have ever imagined.
Yeah.
It coming out. So yeah, very proud of that process.
That's a cool collaboration. It's cool that you got different people from all over.
It was neat, man. I mean, yeah. That's the modern world now with music. It's an amazing thing that we can connect and create with anybody anywhere in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really, really neat.
Definitely. It gives a lot more flexibility and just a lot, you can get a lot more different tones and
yeah. Oh, it's nuts. Yeah.
Insights.
It's incredible. And I'm working on the next album right now with Carter and Michael and Benjamin again. And blessed enough this time that I flew out to Wichita for a long weekend to track. We got through 7 of the songs on the new album. But then finishing everything up remotely, kind of like we did the last time. It's awesome, man. It's really fun.
Just taking a quick look at the levels. Cool, we're good. I'll edit that last part out. You won the John Lennon songwriting contest for the song Race the Day in 2022. Can you tell us a little bit about how you wrote that song and what it was about?
Sure. That was a phenomenal experience, first of all. Like, I've always submitted to the John Lennon songwriting contest, obviously, as a Lennon devotee. I love their mission and the work that they do, so I always send songs in. And that one just seemed to resonate, I think, with people, because that song was born out of the quarantine. It was born out of the chaos in our house with two little toddlers and, you know, a husband and a wife going nuts trying to keep the house together. And so that was kind of a breath for my wife, Kristen, and I to remind ourselves of what was really important in life.
Yeah.
And that, you know, even though we are in this terrifying experience of COVID and quarantine, that we weren't going to be able to get those days back.
Yeah.
And so, you know, try to stay grounded as much as you can as you're chasing a, you know, 2 and 3 year old around the house.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's definitely a kind of a personal, as personal a song as I've written
mm-hmm.
Before. But I think people resonated with it because we all had similar experiences of trying to stay present in the world that we were in at the time.
Yeah, yeah. It was really hard to... There was so much going on. Yeah.
I turned the news off eventually because it was just... It was too much, yeah, you know?
It was a lot of chaos, yeah. What's one piece of advice you'd give to singer-songwriters just getting started?
Oh, my gosh. I think the number one piece of advice I give a songwriter is just write. Don't think. Just produce. And don't let anyone define what you do. Mm-hmm. Like, songwriting is such a personal experience, and it really is up for interpretation. Anybody can interpret a song any way they want, but for the writer, stay true to yourself and just write. I often don't really critique my songs too much. I know that there are songwriters that are masters of the craft and will revise a song 100 times and go down to the period and the, mm-hmm, or if or then. And I don't really write that way. I kind of just let the song flow out.
Yeah.
And then polish up a few things. But yeah, don't take yourself too seriously.
Yeah.
just write. And good things will happen.
Cool. Yeah. It's definitely easy to get caught up in the nuances of it. And sometimes, yeah, just letting go really helps like it flow, and then yeah.
Yeah, know that like out of 500 songs you're going to write, like 450 are probably going to be garbage. But, you know, those 50 that you find are little diamonds in the rough. So,
yep, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, take time to appreciate the kind of process.
Cool. Can you tell us a little bit about what the new record's about?
So, again, like all my records, it's kind of a snapshot of where I'm at the last few years. And so this record kind of captures some of the lowest of lows. I've experienced quite a bit of loss in my personal life the last few years, but also I've experienced some of the highest joys that a person can experience. And so it's kind of a collection of that. It's kind of riding the wave, mm-hmm, a bit. So some of the songs are very much deeper, a little dark, and then some are just very joyous expressions of love and gratitude.
Very cool.
It's going to be fun. I'm really excited. I think we're going to release it late summer, early fall, and probably put a couple singles out before then. But
nice.
Yeah, we're 7 songs in out of the 10, so we're getting close.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, looking forward to hearing it. And do you have any shows coming up, or where can people find your music?
I do. So yeah, you can go to seanmaguire.com, SEANMAGWIRE.com. It's got all my dates. Like we were joking earlier, I'm a weekend warrior. For sure, now that I'm a dad, I play pretty much every weekend all around New England. Especially if you're in Massachusetts, I play heavy in central and western Massachusetts. But I get down to Connecticut quite a bit and up into New Hampshire as well.
Very cool.
So you can go to the website. You can find me on Instagram at Sean McGuire. And all my dates are listed there.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you so much for being on today and for sharing some great insights and stories with us. And I'm excited to hear some music. So let's transfer over to the performance.
Awesome. Thank you, Lars. All right. This first tune I'm going to play is a song called Long Straight Line. It's going to be the first single off the new album. So you get a little sneak peek at it. But this is a song that I wrote for my wife and kids. I was blessed enough to have booked the Telluride Bluegrass Festival last year as one of the 10 troubadours that they brought out there. And so going out to Telluride for a week, being away from the wife and the kids, I wrote a song that lets them know that we're connected no matter where we're at in the world. This is Long Straight Line. Well, there's a long straight line between your heart and mine. The ties that bind, the ways we find, the creases in the folds. Cause on this long dusty road, you're the only one to know the rhythm of my soul through the passages of time. Cause there's a long straight line. Ooh. Out on the ridge before the sun comes up, say my prayers and fill my cup. Pray with the sky the light will shine and lead me to that long straight line. Wash my hands and stand up tall, throw my shoulders up against the wall.
Reach down deep and hold on tight. And lead me to that long straight line. This will be trouble up ahead. But there's no worry in my head. This is a long straight line between your heart and mine. The ties that bind, the ways we find, the creases in the folds. There's only this long dusty road. You're the only one to know the rhythm of my soul through the passages of time. This is a long straight line. Late at night when the west has won, rest my head for my work is done. Tired and cold, I seek what's right. That'll lead me to that long straight line. This will be trouble up ahead. But there's no worry in my head. This is a long straight line between your heart and mine. The ties that bind, the ways we find, the creases in the folds. There's only this long dusty road. You're the only one to know the rhythm of my soul through the passages of time. This is a long straight line. I've been working hard, hard enough to get my feel. Breaking my back, taking my chances higher and higher still. I've been working hard, hard enough to feed the fire. But the flames burn brighter, so much hotter than they ever had before. So we'll be trouble up ahead. But there's no worry in my head. This is a long straight line between your heart and mine. The ties that bind, the ways we find, the creases in the folds. Cause on this long dusty road, you're the only one to know the rhythm of my soul through the passages of time. This is a long straight line. There's a long straight line.
All right, this next song is a song called Eve. It's also going to be one of the singles on the next album. This song is an apology to my wife. I suffer from foot and mouth syndrome, and I decided to distill it down to blaming the first man who didn't get it right the first time, and we're still not getting it right since then. It's a song called Eve.
One, two, three, four.
I was born with a restless soul, a hurricane of light in the darkness of the cold. And the currents never tempered as the years have grown old. Cause I was born with a restless soul, she was born with a heart of gold. The tarnish of the world can never touch her deepest folds. As the years go by, she gets brighter and bold. She was born with a heart of gold. For ever since Eden, man's been chasing his tail. He's falling in love. It's the best damn thing he's ever felt. But just like that apple, so soft and so sweet, man just can't ever hold on to anything. Cause you were mine and I was yours, a delicate ballet
on a tightrope walking course. As the miles roll by, we kept begging for more. 'Cause you were mine and I was yours. But fear is a curious thing, creeps in like a honeybee and leaves you with a sting. And you can't ever shake the damage it brings. 'Cause fear is a curious thing. For ever since Eden, man's been chasing his tail. He's falling in love. It's the best damn thing he's ever felt. But just like that apple, so soft, so sweet, man just can't ever hold on to anything. Ever since Eden, man's been chasing his tail. He's falling in love. It's the best damn thing he's ever felt. But just like that apple, so soft and so sweet, man just can't ever hold on anything. Ooh, ooh. All right, this one is an oldie but a goodie. That's a song I wrote way back in 2014 when I was still living in Chicago. And I played in this amazing band called the Lulabells. This song was actually the first song I ever won a grand prize for in the John Lennon songwriting contest back in 2015, if you can believe it. This is a song called Between the Cracks. Sounds of our proximity to flight. Old enough to fear it, young enough to try. And lost by design, ignoring the signs of our deliberate demise. Close enough to taste it, far enough to hide. And fall asleep. Dream of the life. 'Cause this is where I belong. Right between the cracks. This is where I belong. Not the future nor the past. This is where I belong. Hard as it may be, somewhere I can breathe. Caught in disguise, falling over branches we have climbed. High enough to reach it, low enough to find. And fall asleep. Dream this is where I belong. Right between the cracks, this is where I belong. Not the future nor the past, this is where I belong. Hard as it may be, somewhere I can breathe. Open the doors and run to the hillside. Follow the lights and throw yourself into flight. Open the doors and run to the hillside. Follow the lights and throw yourself into flight. Open the doors and run to the hillside. Follow the lights and throw yourself into flight. 'Cause this is where I belong. Right between the cracks, this is where I belong. Not the future nor the past, this is where I belong. Hard as it may be, somewhere I, this is where I belong. Right between the cracks, this is where I belong. Not the future nor the past, this is where I belong. Hard as it may be, somewhere I can breathe.
Thanks for listening to the Songs of Inspiration podcast. Until next time, keep supporting local music, stay safe, and be well. This podcast was produced by True to the Vision Music. For more information on us, check out larswicklund.net.